God's grace be with us this morning, and his word opened up to us. Amen. I'd like to take for a text this morning the chapter 15 from 1 Corinthians, and we'll read from verse 1 through verse 11. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning with the first verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Heavenly Father, your words are before us, and indeed they are truth, as we have already mentioned. And Father, we pray that the words that are spoken even at this time would be from your lips, and that they would encourage us, uplift us, and strengthen us in this walk. In Jesus' name, amen. The first four verses of this particular chapter, Paul talks about the gospel that has been shared with the Corinthians, or the people of Corinth. And as is common, there was a lot of false teaching going on around in that area, and throughout the whole time where the apostles and Paul would be speaking, because there were so many that would try to take the message and confuse it and keep people from believing. But he says, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received and wherein you stand. We have received that gospel this morning, that same message. And it's so interesting to know and to understand. Here's the Apostle Paul going about preaching that message. John, Peter, all of the apostles preaching the same message. And here it is some 2,000 plus years later, and we're still hearing the same one. It hasn't changed. It's still the same right now today as it was then. So he's talking to the people of Corinth. And he says, I preached unto you that message. And he goes on and he says, by which you are saved. Not were saved, are saved. And that's what we have today. We are saved by that message. I preached unto you unless you have believed in vain. If you did not accept that message, if that message was not taken and believed, then it's in vain. All it is words. It means nothing. And there is no point to it. But if that message is taken into the heart, if that message is taken in and believed by faith and trusting by grace, to know and to understand, then that message is salvation. I was reading a thing on the other day, and I Googled the word faith. I'm not particularly fond of computers, but they do come in handy. And one of the messages that I saw, and I was really surprised when I read it, that faith is something, and I'm paraphrasing here, but faith is something that you have if you believe it. Now that term, if, does not it just does not fit when we have faith in God. Because there is no if. That grace that God gives us and that faith that he bestows upon us is real. That faith that he gives to us is something that is solid. And there is no guesswork. There is no if you believe. It's when you believe. Because that Holy Spirit is right there and encouraging you and showing you what God has done. And most that have come in through that door, that have recognized their sinfulness, that have recognized the path that they have been walking on is not leading to anything but damnation. They don't want to have an if. They want to have it be real. They want to know that there is salvation. And that's what God gives. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the message that we have to remember every single day. That message that we heard, that message that we believe, that message that we have faith in, Christ died for our sins. That's the message that we have to continue to grab a hold of and hang on to. Satan will come constantly and try to keep us away from those thoughts. He will constantly belittle us. He will constantly come and try to take those away. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And praise God that on that third day he rose again. And he now sits on God's right hand. And the beauty of that, of him sitting, and I picture this, the beauty of him sitting on God's right hand is reminding, and reminding is the wrong term. I know it is, but I can't think of anything any better. Or maybe I could say telling God, their salvation is because of what you did through me. You see, it was God in the form of his Son that came upon this earth. It was God in the form of his Son who took our sin debt. It was God in the form of his Son who was buried, and it was God who in the form of his Son rose again. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. He has compassion for us. He doesn't want us to fail. And he wants us to live the life of grace and faith, regardless of how tough it can be at times. And it will get tough. Because Satan knows what his reward will be, and he's going to try to take as many with him as he can. Verse 5-7 talks about all the people that saw Christ after he arose. Cephas, there were some 500 brethren, the apostles. In verse 7, though, he singles out James. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Why James? James was Jesus' half-brother. James did not believe in Jesus in their growing up. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. According to everything that I've studied, everything I've read. But that didn't last. And it was after Jesus' resurrection that he came into faith, according to history. I can't tell you that, yes, that is the way it was or anything, but thanks be to God that he did come to that point. But he did believe. He came into faith. He believed who his half-brother was and why he came. But he also became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He went beyond, or maybe not say beyond, but he took that faith to believe that he had, and he used it to lead others. And he used it to tell, excuse me, to tell others of who Jesus is and who he was. And that's what God wants us to do today. He doesn't want us to ignore him or go about our business or go about our workaday life and not exhibit who we are. That's not why we're here. We are to be an example, whether it's just in the way we live, in the way we conduct ourselves, even if the words may not be spoken, if the way that we are conducted and in the way of our conversation, people will notice that maybe there's a little difference here. And then they might become curious. But then he goes on in verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Verse 8, Verse 8, he says, "Last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." There has been down through the years and back in the time of the apostles where they did not believe that Paul was an apostle. And I've heard people talk about it even in my lifetime, that they, I don't know, just kind of picking at fleas, I guess, but I don't care. Paul preached that message of salvation. That's the important part. That's what's important. I don't understand why one has to pick at these little things. Focus on the big picture, the salvation that you have because of what Christ has done and what Paul taught. In the last part of that eighth verse, it says, "And or as of one born out of due time." Oftentimes that is taken in the context that Paul persecuted the church, which he says in verse 9, and that when the time was right, he became an apostle, or he was saved. If you study that a little bit, it even gets deeper than that. It gets deeper to the point where at that time, Paul was not viewed, even after his experience on the road to Damascus, he was not viewed as being a very good person, even by believers. And there were those that would make fun of him, or that those would insult him. And when they say, when the scripture here says that out of due time, they are referring to his birth, or to a birth, I guess I should say, that was less than proper. Whether it be a stillborn was one of the examples that was given. Another one that was given was an aborted fetus. This is how severe that they were at when they were after Paul and what that meant. They didn't like him. They didn't think that it was right and proper. But you see that. That's the whole point of grace. It doesn't matter what our life was. It doesn't matter who we were. What matters is who we are and who we have become. We have become a child of God. And because we are a child of God, we have that salvation because we believe. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can we say that this morning? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Forgetting what I used to be, I know what I am. I am a child of God. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. The grace that he gave me was not in vain. Is not in vain, because I believe and I trust and I acknowledge that he is my Savior. But I labored more abundantly than they all. And this sounds a little bit possibly like bragging, maybe. But if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And this is what Paul was talking about when he says, I labored more abundantly. What he's essentially saying is that what I went through as a believer or as a Christian was more than the rest of you. But let's look at chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, and beginning with verse 23 and read down through 27. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, and in prisons more frequently, and deaths oft. And he is saying, I read this in the ESV, and it kind of breaks it down into English, so to speak, but it's so clear. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five different times he was whipped. Why? Because of his faith. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been on the deep. In other words, a night and a day I was drifting alone or at sea. In journeyings oft, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. He wasn't bragging. He was just stating what he had gone through. And still, he stood for righteousness. Because he did not count those things as perils. He did not count those things that he was going through as suffering. He counted them as we all should. That whenever we are experiencing hard times, whenever we are experiencing significant things, that it is something that we need to trust and rely on God, because it takes us and puts us into that place where I have nothing of my own. I have nothing that I can depend on, and it is God that needs to walk before me and save me. It is God that needs to walk before me and give me the faith and the grace to continue on. This is what Paul was saying. He says, but I labored more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me, or with me. It was God that was with him. He didn't take anything of himself, but he gave all glory and honor to God, which is what we need to do. There is nothing that we can do in this life that we have done of ourselves that we can praise and think of ourselves more highly than we ought. It is all by God's grace, and all glory and honor needs to be given to him. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. He's not taking anything of himself. He's not grabbing a hold of anything and saying, well, it was me that, you know, told you this message. And no. I or they. Letting them and wanting them to understand that it doesn't matter where that word comes from. It doesn't matter who proclaims it. It doesn't matter how oft you hear it. What matters is that you believe it. What matters is that you humbly grab a hold of it and recognize that even though you are a sinner, God still loves you. God still wants to take care of you. He wants you to be with him in glory. We've seen a lot of people over this past year or two that have just gone on. And you know, there's times, well, my dad, one time, it was a number of years ago, even more than a number anymore, it seems it's gotten fairly long, but anyway, he got up one morning and went into the kitchen. Mom was in there fixing breakfast or whatever she was doing. And she told him, she said, so-and-so passed away last night. And he looked at her and says, he's the lucky one. And I thought to myself, wow. I don't know if that's such a great thing to be thinking. But I understand it more now. I look at those who have gone on. And by no means am I saying at all that I want to join them. That's not what I'm saying. Although I am saying that. I know that sounds confusing. They're not having to put up with all this nonsense and foolishness that we see now. They're not having to put up with all the ungodliness and the worldliness. They're not having to put up with any of that stuff. They're sleeping and waiting to be risen up and to be taken up into glory. They are the lucky ones from that perspective. They are the ones that are waiting to be transformed and given that new body that God has promised. May he add his blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen.